This is Mark Levine with another edition of On the Mark. Today we're going to talk about Betty Boop. We're going to talk about the game of Clue and the game of Scrabble. In the early 1930s, Max Fleischer created Betty Boop. Betty Boop was a female character who was soon to be the vamp of the nation. There were comic strips of Betty Boop and finally television in the early 1950s. Her alluring features were stunning for the time, and Fleischer took advantage of the growing admiration of Betty Boop, and she was famous for the line, "Boop, oop, a doop." Fleischer was inspired by singer Helen Kane, who Fleischer described as his choice for Betty Boop. Some thought it was going to be Clara Bow that inspired Fleischer. The fame of Betty Boop traveled around the world. Her dress designed as a strapless dress, short skirt, high heels, and a contoured bodice made her look like a streetwalker. But she was accepted fashion icon of the time. Betty was voiced by several actors over the years, to include Kate Wright, Margie Hines, Bonnie Poe, and others. We may not remember these past actors, but they gave Betty Boop her infectious personality and high-pitched, loving voice. In 1955, Betty made a resurgence via Paramount Pictures, who sold her films in syndication. NTA, the company which bought the films from Paramount, had attempted to sell Betty Boop films in black and white in the 1960s. The attempt failed because there was no longer a market for black and white films in the United States. They finally sold them to South Korea, where they hand-traced each frame, which resulted in poor animation, quality, and timing. It is amazing, still today, after 90 years, an animated character has and still will fascinate our country for over 90 years, and she still has a place in our culture today. To this day, you can find videos with Betty Boop. Comic books are still available if you can find them. Betty Boop has been famous for all these years. Just like Barbie, there is a Betty Boop doll. The Betty Boop doll was first created by Joseph Callis at the Cameo Doll Factory in the 1930s. He made 1,000 of the wooden jointed dolls where they were made. Betty was 17 inches tall. She had her own quote, starting with, "Hello, my little friend." Goes on to say how happy she is to have a new friend, and she enjoys playing certain games, and continues with her history. I believe that Betty Boop was the first talking doll. I could be wrong. In 2005, the first porcelain replica doll was remade by the Danbury Mint. And this version of Betty Boop was 13 inches high. And being porcelain, the doll had a much higher cost to manufacture and therefore even higher to purchase. You can still purchase Betty Boop talking dolls today, available on online sites such as Amazon. I'll bet you that most of us have probably played Scrabble at one time or another. So let's find out how Scrabble started. In 1938, Alfred Mosier Butts, an out-of-work architect, invented the game of Scrabble. Doing so, he found there were three categories of games, which included number games, such as dice and bingo, moving games, such as chess and checkers, and then word games, such as anagrams and crossword puzzles. Butts analyzed the New York Times and calculated the frequency of letters. This led Butts to take his invention further, laying out the game, including the use of letter tiles on a game board. He introduced his invention to various game manufacturers, who all rejected his game. But Metz found a game enthusiast by the name of James Bruno. Bruno was not only a game aficionado, he was also an entrepreneur. He and Butts made some adjustments to the game and the rules and design and called the game Scrabble. Bruno and friends rented an abandoned schoolhouse in Donnington, Connecticut, where they manufactured 12 games an hour, stamping letters on wooden tiles one at a time. The pace was extremely slow, and Bruno lost $450 after making 2,400 games in 1949. As fortune would have it, the president of Macy's discovered the game while on vacation and ordered some for his store. The game made great strides that year. Everyone had to have a Scrabble game. The games were selling fast, and Bruno could not keep up with the demand. He contacted a Long Island game manufacturer, Selcho and Ryder, to market Scrabble and distribute Scrabble throughout the United States and Canada. In 1986, Scrabble was sold to Coleco. Unfortunately, 3 years later, Coleco filed bankruptcy. Alfred Pratt, a piano player, was watching murder mysteries as he played piano for the rich and elegant participants as they plot out these crimes of passion in their elaborate and spacious mansions. Years later, during World War II, having been enthralled and could not rid himself of the images in his mind with the sense of the past, Pratt decided to recreate the murder mystery parlor games of the past. He made the games in miniature and called them Murder. Pratt was a longtime resident of Birmingham, UK. He worked in a munitions factory during the war and invented suspects and weapons between 1943 and 1945. His wife, Elva, assisted by designing the game board. Pratt's daughter, in a 2009 interview, told the press, "My father was an avid reader of murder fiction and authors such as Agatha Christie. In 1947, he patented the game and sold it to a United Kingdom-based game manufacturer named Waddington's, and its counterpart in the United States, Parker Brothers, owned by Hasbro. Due to the war, Clue, the game, was not released until 1949. The game board has made several changes over the years. Even the weapons have changed also. There are now international editions, including a pop-up version of the game. The game's appeal was boosted with the publications of murder mysteries by authors such as Agatha Christie and others. And finally, Clue received the honor of earning its spot in the National Hall of Fame in 2017. Bruno became the new owner of Scrabble, as well as the owner of Cabbage Patch Dolls and Parcheesi. Scrabble is here to stay. There have been so many more editions of Scrabble, to include Scrabble Junior, with over 500,000 children playing Scrabble in over 18,000 schools across America. Alfred Mosier Butt enjoyed playing Scrabble with his friends and family until his death in 1993 at the age of 93. Alfred Pratt, a professional piano player, was watching murder mysteries as he played piano for the rich and elegant who participated as they played games of crimes of passion in their elaborate and spacious mansions. Years later in World War II, or during World War II, having been enthralled and could not rid himself of the images in his mind with a sense of the past, Pratt decided to recreate the murder mystery parlor games of the past. He made the games in miniature and called it Murder. Pratt was a longtime resident of Birmingham, UK, and he worked in a munitions factory during the war and invented suspects and weapons between 1943 and 1945. His wife, Elva, assisted by designing the game board, and Pratt's daughter, in a 2009 interview, told the press her father was an avid reader of murder fiction and authors such as Agatha Christie. In 1947, he patented the game of Clue and sold it to a UK-based game manufacturer named Waddington's, and its counterpart in the United States, Parker Brothers, which was owned by Hasbro. And due to the war, the game was not released until 1949. The game board has made several changes over the years. Even the weapons and have changed also. There are now international editions, including a pop-up version of the game. The game's appeal was boosted with the publications of murder mysteries by authors including Agatha Christie and others. And finally, Clue received the honor of earning its spot in the National Hall of Fame in 2017. I hope you have enjoyed this episode of On the Mark. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can contact me at onthemark93@gmail.com. Again, onthemark93@gmail.com. And if you live in the Greenville, Greer communities in South Carolina, I suggest you visit Not Just Gaming, and that's at 211 Trade Street in Greer. And you can find them at www.notjustgaming.com. Or you can call them at 864-775-9459. And again, they're at 211 Trade Street in Greer. And there you're going to find many of the games that I talk about and some of the toys I talk about. They also have Dungeons & Dragons, checkers, and chess. I suggest you check them out. They're great folks, Diana and Jason, and I can't say much more about them, but they're really good company and a great store to look into. So next time on the Mark, I appreciate your listening and your comments and your questions. And the next time I come on the air, I will let you know ahead of time what we're going to talk about, because I'm really not sure right now myself. All right. Take care of yourself and others.